Welcome to Being a Successful Leader with Carl Welty. Carl is a leadership pioneer with years of challenging leadership and consulting experience. Here's Carl with some valuable insights, practical and proven methods for being a successful leader.
Greetings, everybody. Carl Welty here, your host for the ongoing podcast series, Being a Successful Leader. The intent of the series is to equip you, the leader, with valuable insights and practical and proven know-how to take on this important role as a leader and make a success of it. The episodes are every week, and we're in our 45th plus episode here. And the past episodes are you can get on going by the to the sponsor of the podcast itself, webtalkradio.net, webtalkradio.net. Click on channels and then go down to leadership in the workplace, and then click on my icon there with being a successful leader, and then go into any past episode for the first time, or if you want to hear it again. And the series is organized around three organization or leadership principles I have. The first is leadership begins with you. So the first is being a self-aware and skillful leader. The second then is having a sound strategy. And then the third is having a culture of commitment. So it starts with you and self-aware and skillful you. And then you have to have a game plan that goes on and on. And it has to do with your identity. That's all about why you exist, you and your organization, be it an organization as a whole or an organizational unit, and what you stand for, your core values. And then you need a direction, a viable direction in terms of where you're going, what it looks like when you're there, which is all about what I call a translatable vision. And then behind that, you have a strategic path, a cluster of strategies, and then actions beyond that. So that's your identity and direction. And then the final of the three is having a culture of commitment. People will rally around the sound strategy and carry it through with you through your desired future. So number one is being a self-aware and skillful leader. Number two is having a sound strategy. And number three is building a culture of commitment. And I have a book for each of the three imperatives. You can go to Welty.com and scroll over to or click on Leadership Resources and then on Books, and you'll see the three books previewed there, as well as how to order the three through Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or the publisher Ewing's Publishing. It makes a nice combination I'm proud of. We talk about different topics here, and then you can go explore them further through the books. And then the books and the past episodes serve as an ongoing resource for you. And I like that combination. Okay, today's topic is organization design. Last episode, we discussed the stages of organizational growth and the strategic implications of those stages. And the model we used replicated like what's called a sigmoid curve, or a half of a bell-shaped curve, the left-hand side of a bell-shaped curve. And organizations start, there's a startup, again, an organization as a whole or an organizational unit. Then there's a growth stage that could be small or it could be large. It could be fast. It could be slow, depending on the business, the industry, your personal determination as the leader, and the organization. So anyway, that could go on for months or years or beyond. And then the maturity is at the top of that curve as you go up the hill, if you will, the top of the curve, the top of the hill. And that's where you've done about all you can do in terms of the growth. And then there could be a decline there. So it behooves you to, if you get to that knoll on top of the hill, to be ready to renew or even reinvent the organization and its purpose. And that could take on a different, basically the same business, but take on a different complexion, if you will. We'll talk a little bit about that later. So startup, growth, maturity, and then possibly renewal. And the key in renewal is to get into action there before the things start to decline. That's an important point. It's easy to say, but hard to do when you might be there. Okay. With that in mind, today we want to go through, or the strategic implications, by the way, that we talked about last time, is growth in size. And there's another type of growth, that growth in maturity. It could be that, growth in size is, of course, more revenue and territory, perhaps, and more employees and that sort of thing. But growth in maturity is being a smarter and healthier organization, smarter in the way you do your business and your functions, healthier in terms of the work environment that you arrange. So there's that kind of maturity, too, growth in size, growth in maturity. We talked about approaches to management last time. You, as a leader, need to evolve to pace with and maybe and lead, if you will, your organization. Maybe in the startup phase, not maybe, you probably are a doer technician, hands-on, doing most. They need you. You're the specialist. You have a missionary zeal. They need you in that role. And then as the organization grows, if you will, if it does, you maybe become a conductor. You're not as hands-on as much, but you're still calling the shots with centralized control. And you put in effect rules and practices and things of that nature in order to continue to exercise that control, which is needed. Organization continues to grow. Then you maybe need to back away from the conductor and transition into you as a leader, manager, coach. And now you're not telling so much and calling the shots. You're more advising and coaching and asking instead of telling. That's a tough transition for many managers and many organizations at the outset. When they move from startup and start to grow, they find that the founder just doesn't have the interest or capability to make that transition. Then they bring in professional managers. You're well aware of that. And then the final of the four approaches to managing, the doer, technician, conductor, coach, is working leader. And there, the organization continues to grow. And now your best approach is to step outside the day-to-day operations, if you will, and be out there as a blocker, tackler, enabler, clearing the way and paving the way for the organization, your organization, to do its job. You're still involved, but you're doing a lot of leading and less managing now as a working leader. And as a matter of fact, in that working leader role approach, you're probably adding a lot more value. So anyway, those were the strategic implications we talked about last time. And the fourth one was organization design, which we mentioned, but we're going to go into some depth now, that we talked about last time. Growth in size, growth in maturity, approaches to management, and organization design. All right. In terms of organization design and using the same model to kind of flush it out, as a startup, you know, you start up on a functional basis. You do this and I'll do that. And together we'll plan. And then the organization starts to grow and you bring in other people. We call that functional devolution. And so you have more people in each of the functions. You maybe add a function by bringing in a CPA to be the CFO, if you will, bringing in a capability to have a human resource function, things of that nature, functional devolution. And then you reach a phase, if you continue to grow in size and maybe maturity too, you have to begin to establish divisions. And it turns into, your organization turns into a combination of functional and divisional. For example, you can organize your divisions around a territory. Customer clients, you can organize around customer clients, products or services, and especially like with a construction company, a large construction company, projects. So as you grow, it turns into a combination of functional divisional organization. At your headquarters, you're probably still functionally organized, and out in the divisions at their main office, they'll be probably functionally organized. You know, finance and planning and human resource, that sort of thing. And out in the field and so forth, it'd be more division. The division as a whole is organized around, again, customer clients, product services, territory, or even projects. Okay. So that's a thumbnail sketch. And then as you reach the If you do, the need to renew yourself or reinvent yourself, there's a realignment that takes place. Now, the realignment can take place anywhere along your growth curve as you go uphill, if you will. But especially at the maturity level, there may be a need to intentionally go through a realignment. And that's where you, many times, you kind of optimize, maximize what you can do internally. So you look outward. You look outward beyond your traditional boundaries. And such things in terms of reinventing yourself or realigning yourself, renewing yourself as an organization, as horizontal integration. Horizontal integration is an expansion strategy that you're adding like products or services to your business line. For example, let's say you're a plumbing contractor and you add HACV, heating, air conditioning, ventilation, to your offerings, if you will, your services, and expand in that way, grow in that way. That's an example of horizontal integration. Another example would be a consulting firm who hooks up with another consulting firm. And by so doing, they may have different customer client bases or different territories. They both expand their services territorially or in terms of services offered to clients. So that's another example of horizontal integration. Vertical integration would be to expand in the value chain, if you will. Instead of horizontal, you expand in your value chain. So you kind of look upstream, and what upstream, like suppliers and other parts of the production process are upstream from you currently. And you look downstream in terms like distribution and getting the product and services out the door. And you may bring in part of your upstream or downstream capabilities to your own inside your organization to do that. You're having a longer value chain, if you will, that you personally control. Other realignment strategies would be like strategic alliances, where you look outside and you team up with other organizations, and mergers and acquisitions. One of the important things, as you especially think of realignment, if and when that need ever comes, is that you kind of stick to your knitting. Stick with things that you're good at, you're passionate about, you're good at. These are your core capabilities, if you will, based on your processes and your people. You stray away from that too far, you're going to find you're going back and forth and kind of zigzagging all over the place. So stick to your knitting is a pretty important principle as you think of expanding beyond your traditional boundaries. All right, so let's now look at organization design principles, and then we'll end up by giving you a process that you can use with you and your leadership team, if and when you ever need to contemplate organization redesign. Principles being fundamental truths here. So these are, I give you six of them here. And again, they're important to bear in mind as you contemplate you and the leadership team, possible any organization redesign. The first one you may not think about, but when in doubt, don't. This is one of my own. When in doubt, don't. Many leaders, I find, think that reorganizing is a magic elixir. Shaking the box and things will get better. The problem with that is that whenever you redesign, come up with a different modification of your organization, the relationships change, the workflow may change, and that's quite a deal to put that all back together and have these folks get to know each other again and clean up the work processes and the workflows. So it may be a good thing to redesign. But bear in mind that you're altering a lot of these important things like relationships and processes. So don't just shake the box as a solution. Be sure that reorganizing is the thing to do, that there's some payoffs there. Okay, that's one. When in doubt, don't. Another principle is organized around the work to be done, not the people. So you got this crackerjack that's come on board and so forth, great and so forth. But don't be tempted to organize around that person or people. Organize around the work to be done. Okay. Another one is homogeneous groupings. You want to organize around logical clusters of roles and responsibilities. So when in doubt, don't. Organize around the work to be done, not the people. Homogeneous groupings. A fourth of the six I'm going to give you is line staff clarity. Be sure you all understand the difference between line and staff and keep that clear and make it understood by the people. Line, the function of line is to provide products and services. The line from top to bottom is there to produce, market, distribute, sell, whatever, your products and services. Their role is to act. The staff, on the other hand, their role is to provide understood and advice and service to the line. Understood advice and service to the line. So make sure that's clear as you organize, reorganize as time goes by. The fifth of the six is minimum levels. You don't want a steep organization. You want a flatter organization. A flatter organization, there's less risk of line loss, communication line losses. Things go up and down the organization. So it makes for much better communication with a flatter organization. And the last is commensurate authority. You try to make the authorities with the different functions and people and leaders commensurate with their roles and responsibilities. Okay, those are the six organization design principles. When in doubt, don't. Organize around the people, not the organize around the work, not the people. Homogeneous groupings, line staff clarity, minimum levels, and commensurate authority. Now I'm going to wrap up by giving you a process for you to use whenever you and your leadership team are contemplating some organization redesign. The benefits is that it allows for quality leadership team thinking and interacting. Quality, you and your team, quality thinking and interacting. And you can carefully identify, consider, and weigh all the viable options. Okay, so here's what to do if and when you have a need for this process. Number one, identify and sketch out the viable organizational options. You may have two or three ideas in mind. Kind of sketch them out. If you're working with the team, do it ahead of time. Put it on a board. Put it on flip chart paper. Have a handout, whatever. Option A, option B, option C, or whatever. Probably shouldn't have more than that. So number two, after you sketch out the viable organization options, is list the characteristics and advantages of each of these options. So you have the, say you have three. So you and your team identify what are kind of the pros and cons of each of these organizational options. Okay, so you're doing good work. You have two more steps. Option or step three then is identify and define design criteria. Now you know how to do this if you've been with me for a while and maybe looked at the book and in my book, about building commitment. And there's a section on growing teams. And at the back of that section, there's a chapter. There's a section on team tools. And great, I handpick these things. So I think these are the tools that you as a leader most likely will find of value. And in there, you'll find affinity diagram. Affinity diagram is we also talk about a goal analysis tool. Goal analysis, you typically work by yourself. Affinity diagram, you get your group together. But both of them are kind of like silent brainstorming so that you each person gets a nod and an infinity diagram. They can jot down on, let's say, on post-it notes the ideas that come to mind in terms of design criteria in this particular case about the organization. A consideration for redesign. So they jot down on their stickies. You put them up on the board. Then you sort them out. So it's having an objective in mind. The objective in this case to be to determine the best redesign structure for us. Then you have people jot down on, in this case, sticky notes, put them up on the board, sort them out into logical clusters then. That's step three. And then you label each cluster. Quality, communication, all those may be clusters that are up on the board. And then you in one sentence try to define what that cluster means. What is the design criteria? One criteria is when the reorganization allows for a better workflow, let's say. Let's say workflow was one of the criteria, one of the clusters. So you do that each. So when you're through, you'll have several evidences that you use as your design criteria to determine which of the options to design, redesign options are the best for your organization. So that becomes your criteria. Let's say there's four or five, six of these. And then you next design a little decision matrix, and your criteria, and you define them, will be, let's say your vertical column. And then across the top will be, let's say in our case, you have these three options, organization option A, B, and C. And you go through each and talk about each and then score them against one another. Which of these give us the best advantage in design criteria 1, 2, 3, and so forth? And that's how you make a decision. And that's a kind of a left brain activity and very, very important. And then I always like to say at the end of using any decision criteria, whether it's selecting somebody or selecting a design option, is to have a talk with your gut, have your right brain kick in. And how does this feel? Are we missing anything? Are there any adverse consequences? So get both hemispheres of your brain working there, okay? But design process there for you, a redesign process, following those four steps again. Identify and sketch out viable organization options. List advantages and disadvantages of each. Identify design criteria by using the affinity diagram. Or some variation, whatever you care to do, and then develop a decision matrix to decide. And in so doing, use your brain and then also your feelings, your gut, your heart and soul and coming up with a decision. Okay. So hopefully that's of value to you. Again, we, looking at the stages of organizational growth, built on last episode and went into some depth looking at the organization design, which is one of the strategic implications. As you grow, you're going to have to alter the organization, sometimes minor modifications, other times maybe a realignment. Okay. All right. So hopefully of value to you. Looking ahead to next week, we're going to have a topic, results-based training. Training for any organization is important, and it can produce timely workforce learning and growth. But it can also be very costly and frankly, many times a waste of time and money. So in this episode, we will look at designing results-based training. So when it seems to be that we need to have some learning experiences, we can do it in a cost-effective and efficient manner. Okay, with that in mind, you take care of yourself, and we'll see you next week.